Throughout this month, we've been looking at what it means to connect to the heart of Christmas and understand that in the way that in which God works, He lays out for each one of us an understanding of the key concepts that allow us to experience life the way He intended. Last week, we reflected on what happens when we touch the heart of our children, how we guide them to an understanding of what it is that God has for them, what it is He wants to do through them, and what it is that we as parents and grandparents and friends and family can do to impact the life of those that God puts in our path. Today we come to a place where it's the most interesting and unique part of the story because we find the story that unfolds with a character that we know very little about except that he is betrothed to Mary. And we find a man named Joseph, and he finds himself in one of those good news, bad news experiences in life. On the good news side of it, he has the privilege of being connected to someone that's amazing and precious and humble. The truth of the matter is that everything that we read about Mary tells you that she was a humble servant of God. But when you look at what his situation was, it was bad news. Because in biblical times, there was the sheer reality that if someone was pregnant and not married, it was of consequence not only to the person who's pregnant, but also to the marriage that was supposed to take place. And in this season in which they find themselves, they're in a one-year period of time which they're committed to each other in purity and purpose. And so you can imagine that for Joseph, this was a startling experience for him, and he had to process it so carefully. So if you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 1. And what I want you to think about today is, in the span of a week, how often do we hear good news and how often do we hear bad news? How often do we hear something that we really would prefer never to hear? A bad diagnosis, an issue that's beyond our control, a circumstance that we can't intervene in, and all these things, they become the good news, bad news of our entire week. And I want to illustrate with you in just a moment just about that. So in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, let's read. And what I want you to think about as we get ready to read this is two simple questions. What is the best news you ever heard? And what do you do with bad news? What is the best news you ever heard? Because the truth is, there's some news that when you hear it, it is so profoundly powerful. For me, the first time I ever really understood anything about the gospel, I was a child, and I remember hearing it going, this is really good news. And so today, as you think about that, what is the good news you hear, and what do you do with the bad news that you hear? Because, by the way, if you realize we're bombarded with bad news, there's lots of bad news that comes our way often, and we have to process all that's coming at us. So here's Joseph, and let's read together and notice what happens in beginning of verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly, which meant to divorce away the relationship that they had. Verse 20, though. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and it shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Isaiah 7:14. Verse 24, and Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I want you to think about what you just read. Here is a guy who he gets the worst of news at the most critical time, and the bad news could have taken away everything that was good. Had he not been willing to listen to God speaking to his heart in that dream, if he had just said, you know what, it's all bad news, I'm giving up, I'm not going to move forward, he would have missed everything that was intended for his life. But imagine for a moment, he didn't do that. The Bible says he did exactly what he was told to do. Now, I want you to imagine that in our own life. We get some bad news, but we have some good news, and that is that God is with us. He will never leave us, that even the impossible is possible through Him. And we start processing life based looking through the lens of what it is God has for us. Because here's what's interesting. Jesus truly wants to take our dreams and make them a reality. He wants to take what it is that we sometimes dream of that comes from Him. Because the truth of the matter is, when I think about different ways that He speaks to our hearts and lives, and He speaks to us with such clarity, we know it's Him, and we take that in, we start thinking, wait a minute now. So perhaps what it is God wants to do in me and through me is greater than I originally even envisioned, but it was something that I got from Him. See, the truth of the matter is, when you and I think about that, we start thinking about, you know what, there is some good news in our life. Even though we face sometimes the bad news and challenges there. It's interesting because what you find in Matthew 1, 18 through 25 is the gospel. You find that it makes it very clear that He says that Jesus is going to come. In verse 21, she'll bear a son. You'll call His name Jesus. He will save His people from their sin. And when I was studying this, I began to reflect on Romans 1, 16. Look at it, if you would, just for a second. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, what He makes very clear is that the gospel, the power of the gospel, gives us the best news we could ever have. And today as we think about that, here's what I want you to grasp. There's one heart of one thing that matters the most in all of our lives, and that is the heart of the gospel. Because if we understand what God has done for us, then all it demands is that we become sensitive. All right, so watch this. We get sensitive to what He has planned for our lives, that He has something good in store for us, that He wants to work inside of our lives, that even the bad news that comes at us, He's going to help us and guide us through that. And all of a sudden, our perspective changes. And we start looking at things not through the lens of our own agony, but through the lens of His grace. And our sensitivity, what does it do? It opens our hearts up to the profound things that God wants to do. It opens our hearts up to experience something that is so profound and powerful and meaningful that we can take it away and go, you know what, that's what I want in life. I want to be able to experience that and experience what it is that God intends for me. So today, as you think about your own life, I want you to think about the last week. How many moments of good news? How many moments of bad news? How many moments that you'd rather get passed on by? And how many moments that are encouraging and strengthening for you? Because the truth is, watch this, all these moments we have are all there to design for us to realize that our lives are all put together to accomplish His purpose. There are the good moments, there are the challenging moments. And so this week I was making lists of different aspects of good news, bad news that you hear in one single week. And I want to illustrate with this so that you can understand that any week in the life of our church family, there are people going through difficult times, and there are also those who are going through good times that hear good news. But listen to the different needs that I heard this week. Phil Hall, a member of our church since we started a number of years ago, was planning up to go up and celebrate Christmas time with his family at some point. His brother was found dead at 45, slumped over a computer this week. And so he went from a celebrated mode of all the things that he has to anticipate in his life, some exciting things transpiring in his life, to the sudden loss of a brother that died way too young. Mildred Hayes, sitting right back here, daughter Deborah, stroke, blood clot on the brain, all in the span of a moment's time. And how I thank God that she and the other two girls, all three of the girls, were raised by godly parents. What a great story that is. Kenya Kirkendall, long-term member of our church, mother, breast cancer, had surgery on Friday, doing well, and post that surgery. And it's interesting, her mother told Kenya, "Kenya, be sure your pastor and your church prays for me." And I thought, what a great testimony of knowing that we pray. Bailey and Sandy Smith, faithful members of our fellowship, Bailey battling cancer in the throes of one of the greatest parts of his battle at this point, endured immense challenges, etc. Fell this week, broke some ribs, hurt himself, and Sandy's back goes out. And you know, you go through the list, and you go, and she wrote a note to me and to Sandy saying, "Please have the church pray for us, because it's a difficult time at this time in their lives." Good news, bad news. Cynthia Galloway's dad passed away after a battle with cancer as well. Ann North had surgery, doing fantastic. Post the surgery, doing very well. Good news. Bob and Bonnie Leiber. Bonnie was at the dentist just a few weeks ago, and then they diagnosed her with mouth cancer. And if you know Bonnie, who works in our nursery and rocks our babies, precious lady, her and her husband drive this church every Sunday, like several from a long distance, and so faithful. But I asked permission to make sure I could say and share that prayer request with all of you. And then there are a couple others that diagnosis is not public yet, but it's bad news. And I have to deal with that bad news. And when you hear all these, here's what you realize. If you're not careful, you'll start processing how much bad news, how much good news. And the reality is that in the midst of all the news that we hear, our God is faithful to meet us at the point of every need that we have. So I just identified for you 8 or 10 different people who need our intercession, who need our love, who need our encouragement, who need our sensitivity, who need us to be able to stand beside them, not counting several others. And by the way, I may have missed some in the midst of all that we have going on. That's 1 week in your pastor's life. And it's very hard to find the answers and the words to encourage everyone, but I'm going to tell you, I have good news. The gospel is the good news that changes the hearts and lives of any person at any time. And that's exactly why we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 1. So I want us to see 5 distinct lessons that come out of this particular story. And as we think about our own life, you may be here, you may have the bad news of an ailment, you may have the challenging news of a job issue. It's very interesting that one of our members who's persevered through heartache for 4 years found the job of his dreams and starts tomorrow. So there's good news in the midst of sometimes bad news. And so we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 1. And remember the setting of the story. Joseph has no idea all that's transpiring with Mary. He has no idea. And it's all new news to him, but it was an opportunity for him to live the way God intended. So let's look at this. Let's see 5 very, very, very key lessons that I think will be helpful to us. The first one is this. This righteous man, and the Bible describes him in verse 19, being a righteous man, which means he lived in a way that was right before God, all right? This righteous man had a change of plans. In other words, he thought he was going in a particular direction to do a particular thing, and the truth of the matter is, God changed his plans completely. And watch this. When you live righteously, there are times that he will redirect your step. He will put you in a new place. He will set in motion something new for your life. You just have to be willing to go, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. And so you can imagine that this righteous man, who we know so little about, is in the place of a life-changing encounter that will change the entire direction of his entire life. He thought before this night, before this day, he thought, my life is going to go just like this. But then all of a sudden, everything changed in a moment. And what I want you to see today is this. If you live right, some things will change, but one thing never changes, and that is the heart of the gospel. That is Jesus at work inside of all of our lives. And listen carefully. If you're here today and he's never entered into your heart, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, change my life forever. Listen, he's the key to Christmas. He is what makes Christmas good. It's what you have to be willing to do to say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. That is the heart of the gospel. And listen, at Christmas time, we oftentimes exchange gifts and share love with other people. But the truth of the matter is, the gift given to us from heaven, there is no price tag you can place on it. It is the precious, priceless opportunity to live with him forever, to leave this earth at some point and abide with him forever is one of the greatest gifts you could ever imagine having. But this righteous man, his plans changed. And it's interesting because when you look at this, what happened was his reasoning. He was reasoning out this whole process going, you know what, I'm going to put her away. I'm going to shift this focus away from her. And what does God do? In that moment that he needed it the most, he redirected his mind to a new plan, to a better plan. He redirected him to realize something, that what it is I want to do in and through you is greater than what you originally thought. Listen, wouldn't it be amazing for each one of us to realize there are times that he changes the path we were supposed to go, the direction we're supposed to go? He gives us a different order and he gives us a different way. And he says, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to accomplish this. Listen, what do we have to do? We have to be open. Can you imagine? Joseph could have said, this is too much for me. I'm not going to bear this load. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. But instead, this righteous man, and listen, what you got to keep in mind is that being right means that you connect into God's purpose. You surrender to His will. Your righteous life becomes a reflection of what it is God has done in you and through you and for you. And what we need more and more in our world and in our day is people who live righteous lives, who choose to live it out in a profound and powerful way. It's the very reason that the essence of what we're going to look at throughout 2019 is what happens when a man or a woman chooses to become faithful for the rest of their life. When a person says, you know what, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of my faithfulness to God, my faithfulness to His purpose, my faithfulness to experiencing what He intends. And listen carefully. In a wavering day, we're shifting sands and confusing times. What do? You faithfully say, Lord, I want you to follow me. That's what Joseph did. He was faithful and he accomplished God's purpose because he chose not to let the change of plan get in his way. It was altered. It was different than what he intended. Listen, how many of us have gone through a change of plans we didn't anticipate? How many of us have gone through circumstances we thought, man, you know what? I never dreamed I'd have to deal with that. How many of us went through job change we didn't think was going to come our way? How many of us have experiences that we look back at and say, you know, boy, that was different. That was bad. That was challenging, but he was faithful. Because watch this carefully. In the difficulty, just like what happened with Lois Maynard and Kristen and their family, losing another precious person. In that difficulty, there is the beautiful story of the redemptive grace of an amazing God. That's why when Lois spoke to me this morning during our welcome time, you could sense the presence of the Lord in the midst of that loss. Listen carefully. When you and I start looking at our lives and ask ourselves, are we living righteously? Are we living in tune with Him? Are we surrendered to what it is He wants to come? I'll tell you what happens to it. We get our lives in gear and we experience something that's so profound and amazing. And what happens is we get sensitive. And listen, that principle I gave you a moment ago, when we're sensitive, we can hear what God's saying to us. We can hear Him speak into our lives. I want you to imagine what would happen if you and I increase our sensitivity to hear exactly what it is that God is trying to say to each one of us. I tell you what would happen. Our lives would change because all of a sudden we're desensitized by all the noise around us. But the sensitivity that's inside of our hearts can direct our hearts to exactly what God wants to do. Now, second principle I want you to see. So the first thing is a righteous man had a change of plan. The second thing I want you to see is this. Fear can steal the best of your days. Fear can steal away things. Because I'm going to tell you, when you look at this text, when you look at what transpires here, in verse 19, what you see is this righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, but planned to send her away secretly. He was fearful of the reality of what it was he was going to face. But listen, the consequential aspects of marrying somebody who was pregnant was overwhelming in this time, in his culture. And no doubt he probably had some great fear. Listen, you ever had a night when you went to bed and you thought, man, this is all going south? I mean, it's hard to go to sleep. You toss, you turn, you don't know which way to go. And then all of a sudden, this peace comes over you. This peace, I can remember the bad news when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer several years ago. And it was interesting, by the way, because when I would lay down at night, I would have the most overwhelming fear, torment, challenge. It was unbelievable. And I can remember I had some friends who prayed for me. And then I would, whenever it was overwhelming, I would call Cindy and say, I want you to come pray. Pray over me. And I'm going to tell you, she would pray. And I can still hear her voice to this day after all these years have passed since that diagnosis. That bad news turned into some good news because God gave me a chance to keep living, keep experiencing what He intended. But He let me experience the prayers of righteous women, righteous men, others who were a part of that story. And so here he is. Fear could have got the best of him. I want you to think about it for a second. How many times we allow fear to get the best of what we want to have in life? We get uptight. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know how to respond. We're overwhelmed by it. And then all of a sudden, and I love the fact that when you look at the Bible, in verse 20, but when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I want you to imagine it. He went to bed with a nightmare you can't imagine, with a migraine splitting his head wide open. Then all of a sudden, in his nighttime of anguish, an angel appears to him and says, hey, guess what? I got something better for you. the best news you've ever heard. This is what's going to happen. You better follow me exactly. These are the rules you're going to abide by. And when you look at that, you go, wait a minute now. So his fear could have captured him. And what I want you to see today is this. His emotions were captured. And this capturing of his emotions was all connected to the immediate crisis instead of the possibility that God had an eternal plan. And here's what I want you to see. Sometimes when we're going through a crisis, going through a challenge, and by the way, Christmas is the most anguishing time for so many people. This is the 25th Christmas that my wife's mom has not been here. 25 years later, she still misses her in many ways like she did the first year. And so there's anguish. People have lost, and they go back through difficult moments and heartaches and things like that. And yet, in the midst of all of that anguish, all that difficulty, all that heartache, there's also the joy of knowing that she's been walking streets of gold for 25 years. She has celebrated Christmas in a way that we could never imagine in heaven. And what I want you to think about today is, if you thought about everything just in the immediate, what would happen? Your emotions would rule in everything. But if you look at it from the long term and say, Lord, you wait a minute now. Through this, I can trust you in such a profound and powerful way. I can remember the Christmas of the year that we had started One Heart Church, and we were in the midst of a valley that was so deep and dark for us personally that I can't even put words into it. There's no way to actually express it. Our son was messed up. Choices that were detrimental. His life was caving in. His body was being debilitated by drugs and alcohol. And I can remember, the good news was that Jesus called me. The bad news was we had a heartache we didn't have words for. And I can remember the faithfulness of God's people. That while the immediate crisis could have captured us away, and the reason I illustrate that for you is to realize something. No one is immune to a heartache or a pain or a difficulty or a circumstance that's beyond their control. You see, if I could have said to my son, I'll die so you can live, that still would not have changed his choice to do the wrong thing. And how I thank God, and I have, by the way, these moments every single time when Chester asks him to play drums on occasions on different Sundays when he's off work, when I watch him playing, I can remember when he was almost dying. And I'm going to tell you, when I watch that, I have these moments where everything in me says, thank God we didn't succumb just to the fear of his death. And I'm going to tell you, for me, the epiphany of all the experience was sitting across the table from him in a counseling setting at Cumberland Heights up in Nashville, Tennessee, and hearing a counselor say to me, after I said I cannot live without my son, his response was so profound and powerful. That counselor looked at me and said, oh, yes, you could. You wouldn't choose to, but you could. And that day, all the emotion, all the fear dissipated, and I heard God speak to my heart in such a profound way, leave him in my hands. I can do a lot better job than you. And how I thank God for that, how God has ruled in that and changed his life forever and helped him become such a fine young man, married, beautiful children. Yesterday, he was sitting on the couch with his little girl that's 1 year old, and she wanted to see me on the phone. And so he called me on FaceTime, and I couldn't help but think, what was broken got blessed because beyond the bad news, the good news of the amazing God we serve intervened in that circumstance. And what I want to challenge you to think about is this. Be careful. Don't let your emotions get the best of what it is God intends to do, because he has something beyond what you feel. He has his perfect will. Trust him in that. Lesson number three. Let's look at that. First of all, be careful because the righteous man had to experience a change of plan. Secondly, be careful because fear can steal the best of your days. The third thing I want you to see, look if you would, at verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When you read this one verse, you realize God's plan opened the door for everyone to experience the good news. And let me tell you, that good news is not restrictive. It's open and wide. It's anybody from the most wicked to the most innocent. It's an opportunity for someone to experience what it is that God has for their life. And what I love about this particular verse is, can you imagine in the midst of what he just processed, and he hears so clearly, you call him Jesus. And you know, he does verse 25, he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I'm telling you, he got it. He got it. And let me tell you, the good news that became a part of his story had to be the most profound and amazing thing that he could have ever imagined. Because what at one point caused him fear, anxiety, overwhelmed him, all of a sudden the good news changed his life forever. Imagine what would happen today if everyone here understood the power of the good news. That the good news changes our lives forever, and it gives us a chance to have hope and purpose and meaning. And so when you look at that, you realize that what was the angel trying to make sure Joseph understood? He wanted him to understand that his mission and his name was quite clear. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And what he wanted to know was that everyone would understand that Jesus was coming to earth, born of a virgin, to experience life and to die so that we could have life. His mission was clear, that he would save, that he would change our lives forever. And listen carefully, at Christmas time, when we reflect on the power of that gift that changed our lives forever, it's in that gift that we experience and encounter God in such an amazing and profound and new way. I was thinking last night about when the good news began to rest in my heart, how changed I became and how blessed I was. And now, even this day, all these years later, the power of the gospel, the transforming gospel, helps me understand that the mission the Father sent Jesus on was to come to this earth so that you and I could have a meaningful, powerful, purposeful life. Wouldn't you love to have all the power, the purpose that God has for you? The way you find it is you surrender yourself to Him. And listen carefully. It is a Holy Spirit-drawn experience. It is when the Spirit of God rests on your heart. You cannot walk away from it. You cannot run from it. He wants you. He begins to pursue you. And when God begins to pursue you, He will find you. And when He finds you, He will enter into your heart and change your life forever. It's the most beautiful story that we could ever see. It's what takes someone who is blind and lets them see. It's what takes someone who is broken and lets them be blessed. It's what takes someone who is in anguish and gives them peace. It's what takes someone who's overwhelmed by circumstances and gives them a conviction to live their life. It's what gives someone the opportunity to experience life in such a profound and powerful way. Listen, it's good news for all of us. And the good news is that Jesus came so that we could have life and have it abundantly. And so as you think about that, you begin to realize something. Wait a minute, so this righteous man had a change of plan. Emotions couldn't rule. He moved beyond those emotions. And then all of a sudden he realized, he understood this man was coming. This baby was coming to change every heart and life. And think about all through the ages. My wife and I, we've been watching this series called Drive Through History. And it's a biblical drive where this guy drives a car in different places all over the whole land. Very, very intriguing, very interesting. And you begin to hear the stories of how many people, for example, in Rome were martyred because they claimed the name of Jesus. The very same thing, by the way, is happening in places like North Korea and China, Syria, Iran, different places. You can see these stories unfold. We don't always get them in printed media, but we hear them. We understand them. And I'm going to tell you what you discover is the good news changes the heart and life forever. And you don't hear someone saying, I renounce my faith. Instead, they stand in their faith and God uses them to change the world. You just have to be willing to surrender yourself to Him and say, Lord, that's what I want to experience. Lesson number four. Look at it with me if you would. Because verse 22, notice what happened. Now all this was spoken, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, and translated mean God with us. You see, what was of great clarity for Joseph was to understand this principle, that Emmanuel was the answer to life. Because think about this for a second. If you know He is with you always, as the Bible says, even to the end of the age, if you know He is with you, doesn't it give you more comfort? Doesn't it give you more peace? And just this year, as I was going through another one of those bad news moments in which they told me my heart was going to explode in my chest. And I can remember the feeling. The doctor kept saying, "You will die this year if we don't fix this." And every time I saw him, for three visits in a row, he would take out his cell phone and he would show me this picture. He said, "This was your death. This was your moment. You would not make it to Christmas this year." And every time I'd look at that picture, I'd think, wow. And then I would think about God with us, Emmanuel. I'm going to tell you, God is always with you. And as I was getting ready to go into surgery back in April, one of the most meaningful moments was Chip Ingram was there with my family, and we gathered around that bed, and obviously it was profoundly overwhelming emotionally. It was challenging mentally, intellectually, but I'm going to tell you, it was comforting to know that God is with us. And I'll never forget, because when I walked into that room, and I laid down in that bed, they came in for a moment, and they said, "Okay, I need you to sign this paper right here." So what am I signing? And you're signing, you may die, you may have a stroke, I said, "Well, I'm not signing that. I don't want any of that." And he said, "Well, you got to sign this or we can't do it." I said, "Well, I don't want a stroke, don't want a heart attack, don't want death. I think I'd rather live." And so eventually they convinced me to sign a piece of paper. But I can tell you, I can remember the prayer that was prayed over me. And I can remember realizing that God was with me. And I went into that surgery room with such a peace, knowing that he was going to watch over me. And listen carefully, you may be facing something just like that this year, this coming year. It may be something that overwhelms you at the moment, but then you realize God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with you, and you know what? He's with me, he's watching over me, he's taking care of me. I want you to imagine what it would be like if all of a sudden you're in the midst of, you're in a hospital bed as well, and you're surrounded by those that love you, and you're facing the diagnosis of what to do with what they've said and what step you're going to take and how you're going to move through it. And then all of a sudden, you realize God's with you. You realize how powerful that is? I mean, think about all around you, people are seated. They're with you in church. But there are several people in this room that if you were going through a circumstance, a difficulty, they would be with you in that trial, in that difficulty, in that heartache. When I think about Ann North and others that have had surgery, major surgery this week, people were praying for them, lifting them up, asking God to watch over them. It's all about knowing that someone is with you. But I'm going to tell you set that all aside, it is nothing compared to knowing that God is with you. I mean, listen, you lose a job, what does he do? He provides you a better one. You go through a circumstance, what does he do? He gives you a deeper conviction. You go through things, you go, you know, I don't know how to process, I don't know how to deal with this, I don't know which way to respond to this. Then all of a sudden, you realize he's with you. Listen, there can't be anything more profound at Christmas time 2018 than this. God is with us. Don't you love that thought? That he's with us, he's watching over us, he's ordering our steps out, and he blesses us beyond measure. And so as you think about that, God's with us, and he makes it very clear. And he takes quotes out of Isaiah 7, as I mentioned to you earlier. And what is he doing? What is he doing here that is so profound? He's taking away our loneliness, and he's staying with us forever. He is taking away that loneliness. My mother did not become a believer until in her 50s. And my mother was lonely in a lot of different ways throughout the years of being married to an alcoholic, to going through difficulty in our family, to going through divorce, to all these different things. My mother was lonely until Jesus came to visit her. And I'm telling you, when Emmanuel became her Savior, when Jesus touched her heart, anybody in this room who's ever met her realizes that God did an amazing and profound thing. He came to be with her forever. And I want you to think about this for a moment. If you're honest, sometimes at Christmas it's lonely. Sometimes it's not what you anticipated. Doesn't mean, by the way, your house is not full of people, but you can still be lonely. And here's what I want you to realize. When you feel that loneliness kind of come at you and you're overwhelmed by it in some ways, stop and realize that Jesus is with you forever. And I'm going to tell you what happened. When he gets with you, you all of a sudden, man, you know he's right there beside you every step of the way. Every step. And I'm going to tell you, when you know he's with you, it has such a profound and powerful impact. Because what happened to you? You stop operating on a criteria that's based in your own terms. You set aside your loneliness. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you set aside your loneliness, it gives the space for God's love to come into your world. And I'm going to tell you, when His love comes into your world, it is one of the most powerful and profound things. At Christmas time, I always get blessed by the Hearn family. They give us this it's caramel corn. But it's some of the most profoundly good stuff that you could ever imagine. And he doesn't get inspired very often. But when he does, he brings that, you know, and we get blessed by it. I pray for deeper inspiration in his heart and life as these days unfold. But this year, I was out and about somewhere, and I actually was thinking about this blessing that comes our way every once in a while. And I bought a box of Cracker Jacks. And how many of you had a box of Cracker Jacks in your life? Let me see that. All right. Now put your hands down. How many of you have never heard of Cracker Jacks? Let me see your hand. Okay, good. Because sometimes, you know, we have generational things. I was in a conversation, by the way, this week with a girl, and I was talking about having a mobile phone. It was actually in my car. And she said, "You mean you had a phone wired into your car?" I said, "Yeah, you know, there used to be. You couldn't carry this mobile thing you thought about. You think about walking around. It's in my car." She said, "You've got to be kidding. You actually had that." And so sometimes people, you don't always realize that there's so many different generations in the past. I said, "Yeah, you know, I used to live the day when we only had a phone on the wall." I said, "You did?" And so people, God bless the young generation that missed all those great experiences that we've had. So anyway, so I buy this box of Cracker Jacks, and here's my thought immediately. Besides the fact there's a little gift in there, you know, it was something you always get with it. I thought, I hope this is good as Joe's. It was horrible. It was terrible. I thought, this is terrible. Why would I waste my time? And here's what I want you to see. Don't waste your time on the Cracker Jack of life. You instead embrace the caramel corn that falls from heaven. Because I'm going to tell you what's happening. It's a lot better. It's a lot sweeter. And it'll bless your life in a more profound way than you ever imagined. What happens is we get sensitive. Let me tell you, I only ate a couple bites of that box and I threw it away. The world never gives you anything that fills you up. It doesn't even taste good once you buy it. Get rid of it. And what happens? You get to experience life the way he wanted to. Another lesson I want you to see as you think about this is not only was he the one who took away our loneliness, but in verse 24, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now watch this. His dream, watch this, became his destiny. In other words, he went to bed with a nightmare. He woke up with a dream, and his dream became his destiny because the Bible says he did exactly what he was told. So here's my question for you. If God told you something profound and powerful today, would you do it? Or would you say, wait, I need to evaluate that, I need to think through that, not sure I can make that happen? You see, Joseph could have said, "I need a 7-day time to review this. I need to analyze this a little bit longer. I need to process this in a different way." The truth of the matter is he didn't. God took and placed on his heart a willingness to take action. And I want you to think about this principle as it relates to your own life. How many times has he given you something very clear that was directly linked to his purpose for your life? May not have shown up in a dream like what transpired with Joseph, but it showed up in your heart. And watch this carefully. Do not deflect away from your heart the desire that he has to use you. How many people have missed their opportunity to change the world because they listen to somebody else's opinion, they listen to somebody else's they dealt with somebody else's circumstance, and I can't do that. They look through the lens of someone else. Listen, God calls us to accomplish his purpose. We just have to be willing to live out our destiny. Because when you live it out, something begins to happen so powerful. Because finally, as you think about this, he obeyed these instructions precisely given to him by God. He obeyed those instructions, and it changed everything about his life. So I want to ask you a question. If someone handed you some instructions and said, "Okay, here are the things that are most essential for your life," and you look at all, let's say 5 instructions. You say, "Well, I can't do 1, I can do 2, 3 is a maybe, 4 is a yes, 5 is a no." All right, so out of those instructions, what do you get out of that? You get a confusing life, don't you? Because at some points you turn in the right direction, at other points you don't do anything because you think, "Man, I can't do this, I can't make this happen." Listen, what would happen if you let the good news of Jesus rest in your heart in a way that you never dreamed possible? And today that's my question for simply for you. Do you have the good news in your heart? Because listen, if you don't have the good news in your heart, you can't follow any instruction. Because what Jesus does, he starts living inside of us, he changes us. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord? Have you ever said, I want him to live inside of me? You may be sitting here thinking, you know, I've never done that publicly. I've never said that because I didn't even know it was important. I didn't know it was wise. Listen, the wisest choice you ever make that has the most profound impact that could ever be made on your life is to say to Jesus, Jesus, come live inside of me. Because when he lives inside of you, it changes everything. And so I want to invite you today. You may be sitting there going, I don't know how to do that. You do it very simply. You open your heart up to him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come live inside of me. I want you to forgive me of the sins I've committed, and I want you to live in me forever. I'm going to tell you, when you pray that prayer, it opens your heart and life up to something that's so much more profound and powerful than you ever imagined. And the question is, are you sensitive enough in your heart to hear God speaking? Because as I pray at this moment, I'm going to pray for all those who got good news and bad news this week. Then I'm going to pray for you that God would open your heart up and your life. Father, thank you. Thank you that on this day, we run down the list of those who've had good news or bad news. And even on my list was the good news of Richard Chastain not having thyroid cancer. And as I think about all these different good news, bad news, I realize that the best news is Jesus is with us no matter what we're facing in life. And so, Lord, I pray for every person. For those who've been diagnosed with an ailment like cancer, I pray for the healing hand of God to rest on their life. For those who are overwhelmed by circumstances that are outside of their control, I pray that, Lord, you would come close to them. I pray, Lord, that you would help us realize that the bad news we hear today may turn into the good news for tomorrow if we trust you to watch over us in the midst of our trials. And so, Lord, I pray at this moment there could be a man or woman, there could be a student, there could be someone in this room that has never said yes to Jesus. And may the power of the Holy Spirit speak to those hearts. Speak to their lives. And Lord, let them experience the good news of the heart of Christmas, and that is that Jesus saves. And Lord, I pray that you would bless as we respond to you. Lord, thank you for this amazing day that you've given us. Help us to encounter you in a profound and beautiful way because we trust you. And Lord, for that person sitting here who perhaps for the first time realizes that they need to give their heart to you, I ask you to speak to their life right now. Speak to their heart, and may they pray that prayer in their own heart. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to live with you forever. Lord, it is my prayer that hearts would be changed this very day. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.